Das ist offen nach alles. כי הוא אמר כספור עדים הכל מה אתם כאילו חנון האיש יש לי חושב ברגע חסתה אני רואה זה מה, אז הוא אמרה את שזה גם אתם נכון לא בקסים בכלל אחי יודע פה פוסט אם אתם אמר כאן וואלה חנון שזה חסתה
אוקיי תנקי Hey, hey.
Hello.
Hello,
hey, Kaisha. You guys still okay?
Yeah, this is good stuff, Karim.
Does it make sense?
Yes, eating home hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
I can relate, like you will not believe.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are our provider. Yeah, this is a challenging. It's almost to me. It's like a mindset that needs to shift.
Yep. God is shifting.
Sorry. I'm apologizing for keeping my door open. My dad's in hospital, so and my mom's alone, so I need to keep an eye on her, so I apologize for that in advance. Right.
No problem.
So the fourth principle that the Lord revealed to me is that we need to save. And I struggled with this one. I went, God, how in this day and age, with everything that's happening, do you want us to save? I mean, geez, every day there's something that's happening. If it's not the inflation rate that's going up, it's fuel. And if it's fuel, then it means the food prices are going up. It means everything escalates. And it's not like our salaries get increased. So I really struggled with this one. And Robert Kiyosaki, he made a statement and he said, people who are working for other people. In other words, if you are doing a job, you're just over broke. So I wasn't happy when I read that. I'm not like, God, but you said that we must work. We must work. And listening to Kiyosaki, he said that we need to reach a place where money works for us. We are not the slaves of money, but money becomes our slave. And that's where the scripture kicks in Matthew, where God says that you have to choose between mammon and God. If you serve God, then mammon must serve you. But if you fail the test, then you're going to serve mammon. And God's going to take you through a process because you have to break through. We have to break through. It's principle that God wants all of us. He wants everything. He don't just want like a little bit. God wants everything. So when he says everything, he includes your finances. So we have to learn in how to save. How do you save? Simple. You take your monthly bills. Just for a month, take your bills. And then you check, what do you actually buy? I know for some of us, it's very difficult to walk into a shop and to walk out empty-handed. We just can't. We just, even if it's just a chomp, we have to buy something. I know some of you are going, But what the Lord revealed to me is, if you're not able to go in and walk out without buying something, then there's something there that is not lacquer. He's highlighting something that he wants you to work through. Why? Because your desires, there's something in the emotions that's getting triggered with regards to you needing to buy something. So when I started working on this principle of saving, oh my gosh, the exact opposite happened. Everything that I put away, it just seems to disappear. And you guys know I cut my thumbs in October last year, and I'd been saving in that month. And at first I was upset because all of a sudden I had to pay a heck of a lot of money for my thumbs, publicly, privately. But you know what? In hindsight, I wouldn't have had the money if God didn't push me to save. And God knew what was coming. So I mistook it and made something else of it. And I repented and I said, God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then I started thanking him. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you allowed me to save that money for that trip to the hospital. And guess what? He's made it up again for me. Because it's a principle. It's something that you have to grow into. It's something that you have to exercise. It's something that you have to implement daily, where you take your budget, you look at your budget. Okay, today, the budget for today is 200 rand. And you know that you're going to use 100 rand to drive to work, so you've got 100 left. What are you going to do with 100? Let's go to the shop. Go buy us some flowers, or go buy us something nice. You can. Or you can apply delayed gratification. And delayed gratification, Kiyosaki teaches this, and he says, delayed gratification means I save money to go buy me the thing that I want. And the moment you start building and exercising that principle of delayed gratification, the moment you buy the product, it actually means something to you. It carries more weight. Versus you just walk into a shop and you buy it, then you really don't attach any connection to it. You don't realize that it's most probably a dress that you're going to wear once and then it's just going to hang in the cupboard. What for? Versus you apply delayed gratification and you wait. And then, say for instance, it's a 500 rand that you need to put away. And you commit to a 2-month saving. In 2 months time, something better will be coming out. And then that gratification when you go and you buy it, it's like, yes! And you can actually enjoy it. The fifth principle is stay out of debt. Eh? This is one thing that we've all fallen trap to. And it's the trap of buy now and pay later. That is like yoking us to something that's going to trip us not even a month from now. First off, whatever you're buying on credit, it's got a massive markup that you're paying back. Second, you're putting yourself behind. Your budget will become so much more strenuous. Now, don't misunderstand me. Certain things like assets, like your house. You do need a bond, because let's face it, a house today, standard house is 1.2, 1.3 million. No one can buy that out of their own pocket. So you have a bond for that. But there's very few assets, and there's a lot of debt. There's a lot of stuff that's eating up our money that is not necessary. And it's not in line with the will of God. Psalms 37:21 says, "The wicked borroweth and payeth not again." Yikes. The minute a person goes into debt, you lose a portion of your freedom. Because now you're bound to that thing up until it's settled. I'm going to say it again. The minute you go into debt, you become bound to something. You lose your freedom. Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." God promises us, he says to us, you will borrow, you will lend out, and you won't borrow. You will have sufficient. Your storehouses will run over. Wow. How many of us is stuck in bondage because we made mistakes? We miscalculated. We didn't quiet down. We didn't go before the Lord. We didn't ask the Lord, "Father, how do you want us to manage and steward our finances?" So it's important that we stay out of unnecessary debt, that we ask the Lord to give us the boldness and the strength to steward money according to his will. The sixth principle that the Lord revealed to me is contentment. Sometimes God holds back because he wants us to evaluate our lifestyles. Are we trying to keep up with the Joneses or the Kardashians? Or are we trying to keep up with God and with his principles and with his law? Media is selling that your image is everything. The car you drive, the clothes you wear, it's gotta be Nike, Puma, Adidas. And even Nike is nowadays cheap. You have to go DC and Puma and what's the other brand? I can't even remember. But you have to, and you have to drive a Merc or a BMW or the higher end class guys. Is the Ferrari or the Lamborghini. That just tells the world that you own. Well, that's not how God evaluates our worth and sees us. You can be the richest person on earth, and you can drive a plain Toyota. That's not what is supposed to tell the world who and what you are, even though the world does look at that. And I do agree that to a certain extent, you have to live according to God's standard, because God's also a God of excellence. He's a God of excellence and integrity, and he expects us to live according to a certain standard. That's correct. But let's not make the mistake of getting ourselves into debt just because we have to drive the same car that our neighbor is driving, or our kids have to wear the same clothes that their friends are wearing, or they have to have the newest cell phones. No. We have to make sure that we are raising generations that's built on God's principles. We have to become content. We have to look at our lives and make sure that we stay inside the principles of God. Hebrews 13:5 says, Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Aina, how many of us covet what the other one has? How many have opened a door to gossip and slander and backstabbing because we are jealous of what our fellow brothers and sisters have? I've learned that one of the biggest traps in ministry is when the people know how much the pastor gets paid. Hey, it's got nothing to do with us how much the pastor is getting paid. You also get paid a salary in your job. It's not about that. We have to be careful that we don't look around us and we covet what the other one has, first off and second off, that we don't bind ourselves in trying to live with the trends, in trying to show off. If we live in contentment, God says he will never leave nor forsake us. The seventh principle is, and it's based on Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Though through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. You have to make a choice. The seventh principle is about choices. It's built on character. It's built on maturity. It's built on priorities. What do I need now? And what can I get later? And the moment we start applying those principles, the moment we start looking at our budget and we become content, in other words, delayed gratification. So I'm content with what I've got now because I know that in 2 months' time, I can go buy me the shoes that I want. I don't need it right in this moment because I've still got shoes, but I will need it in 2 months' time. A short testimony. I run. I'm still in my running gear. And I needed new running shoes. And a decent pair of running shoes now costs about $2,500. And that's the one thing I don't compromise on, because it's your knees, your hips, your back. Everything gets influenced by the type of shoe you run in. So I knew that my running shoes were almost done, but I could still go a little bit with them. So for almost a year, once a month, I would go to Access Park here by St. Kells River, and I would go to Nike, Adidas, and New Balance. Now, I love New Balance. I run with New Balance. I've always run in New Balance. I've tried Adidas. I've tried Nike. They don't work. My feet cramps, they're too small, too thin, too thick, whatever. New Balance. But New Balance is the cream of the cream, so it's freak expensive. And this last year has been a very, very difficult year financially, so I couldn't just walk in and buy what I wanted. So from December 2018 to December 2019, I searched for running shoes. And by December 2019, I knew my time was up. I had to get new shoes. So I asked my sister, I said to her, look, let's just go to Access Park and just go get the shoes. And I said to the Lord, Lord, my budget for running shoes is R1,000. I'm willing to go R100 over. and I'm willing to go for Nike or Adidas. But my heart is New Balance. I want New Balance. But if he opens up something else, I'll take it. So I was content. I had delayed gratification. My priorities were sorted out, and I knew it was time for new shoes. So we walk into Nike, and oh my gosh, all of Nike's shoes, which is always the cheapest, is like 1,300, 1,500. So I'm like, what? Pass. So we went to Adidas. Again, 1,200, 1,300. I went, no, God. Now, if I can't buy the shoes, I can't go run, and I need exercise. So I decide to go look at New Balance. And remember, my heart has been New Balance, yet it was in my conscious mind, it was the last place for me to go. So I walk into New Balance, and here they have got a 50% sale. So I go, oh my gosh! And my sister bursts out laughing. She's like, my jy dan gebid daarvoor? And I'm like, yes, I did. So I walk up, and the shoes that I want, they're not on special. So I go, no, God, it's like $2,800, $3,000. I'm like, I asked for $1,000 up to $1,100. And then this, one of the guys working there comes up to me and he says, can I introduce a shoe to you? So I said to him, look, I'm used to running with this specific brand, the V6 brand. What do you have that's close to that? So he says to me, I've got something better. It is, and it's on special. It is 2,300 and it's currently on special for 1,100. It's got double the protection, double the layer, double the cushioning, and it's much better than the V6 that you've been running. And if you could have knocked me over with a slap snook, because that's what I looked like. And my sister just looked at me, and my sister went, nou, hoekom is jy so geskok, jy het gevra daarvoor. And I stood in absolute shock, because I realized again, hello Karen, God gives you the desires of your heart if you stay inside his will. So I ran for those shoes, and I bought it. And I can tell you, I am blessed when I'm running, because every time I put those shoes on, I'm like, I'm highly blessed, highly favored. My sister still went, you are nuts to pay that amount for shoes. And I'm like, shut up. This is my shoes. I've waited for it. And it's a stupid testimony. But I learned something. It proved to me that it's just a simple pair of shoes. But God heard my heart. From the get-go, he knew what I needed. And when I was finally ready, because I had to pass the test of delayed gratification. I had to pass the test of priorities. I had to pass the test of contentment. I had to pass the test of budget. I had to pass the test of trusting God. And I had to pass the test of not just buying. And when I obeyed, I got my shoes. Now that can be applicable to anything in our lives. Whatever you are trusting God for, whatever it is that you need done, don't just run ahead of God. Wait on him. Even though it may feel that time's running out, wait for him. Wait for him. I waited and I got my shoes. Then eighth principle. And I don't know if this is applicable, but there's a reason why the Lord laid it on my heart. And he says, don't co-sign. Business people, business owners, maybe you're in the process of applying for a bond, or maybe you want to help out a family member. Even if they are your brother or your sister, don't co-sign. Unless the Lord specifically tells you to do it. One of the things he opened up to me, he says to me, don't take on something that is not yours. You've got more than enough of your own. Don't go try and help somewhere if you are not in the position to look after yourself. Proverbs 27:13 says to us that we have to exercise extreme caution in co-signing. I want to read you that scripture, so I'm just going to open it up quick. For some strange reason, didn't pull that in. Apologies. Read. Proverbs 27:13. Where are we? Here we are. Proverbs 27:13. You guys still with me? Am I still making sense? Have I lost you? Am I boring you? Is it okay?
It's really good. Really, really enjoying the teaching.
The judge tells the creditor, take the garment of one who's security for a stranger and hold him in pledge when he is security for foreigners. That's the Amplified version. I'm going to read you the New King James. The New King James says, take the garment of him who is surety for a stranger and hold it in pledge when he is surety for a seductress. So I hope that scripture is making sense. The scripture says we have to exercise extreme caution. We don't know why that person needs the money when we co-sign. Remember, we can be deceived by words. It's so easy to be deceived by words. But God knows the truth. God knows why that need is there. And oftentimes that need is there because of a mishandling, not stewarding correctly, poor judgment, poor decisions. And oftentimes, rather than giving money, the problem or the challenge can be solved by writing or correcting a mindset, a character trait, or basically just to teach them how to handle or steward money. That's oftentimes the greatest challenge, is people don't know how to work with finances. I was in a recording today and it struck me. The world is in such deep poverty because about 80% of people were never taught how to steward money. They're a slave to money. And because they're a slave to money, they're forever in the circle trying to get money. But the moment they get money, it's like there's holes in the pocket and it's just falling right through. So we need to ask God, Father, teach us. Teach us in how to steward your riches so that we don't step into traps. Teach us and show us. Send mentors across our path. Thank you for Prof who's teaching us. Thank you for Prof that is showing us how to sow, how to live a biblical life of finances. And it's something that we have to develop ourselves. You can get the best and the most amount of teaching out there, but you have to apply biblical principles. You have to. You need to. It's the only way you will break through. It's the only way you will grow. And the last one. Yay. The ninth principle. Family, you gotta work for your earn. Proverbs 14:23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to poverty. If you just talk and you don't do nothing, you ain't gonna get nothing. Sorry. Genesis in sweat and blood, you will till the ground to reap its reward. To access funds, to access finances, we need to work. Proverbs 28:19, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. It's important to work. Work teaches us principles. Work holds us accountable. Work causes us to sit down and to say, that's hard-earned money. So I'm going to trust God, who's given me the skills, who's given me the abilities. I'm going to trust him to show me how to steward it. And as he journeys with me, as he opens it up to me, as I apply his biblical principles, I won't live in lack. Yes, I will go through seasons. I will go through seasons of trials, of testing, of revealing of the heart. But I won't live in poverty. And the last principle, the 10th principle, godly counsel. I've mentioned it earlier, but it's imperative, especially if we are in business, especially if we've got our own businesses. You know, something that stood out for me is in Kaya, where I stay, we've got a couple of Muslim businesses, and their businesses are closed on a Friday from 12 to 2, because that's their prayer time. How many of us dedicate our business and our whatever we are making to the Lord on a daily basis? How many of us are sitting down with godly counsel, praying through stuff? I was on the road today with Dr. Francois when we recorded, and on the way back, he held me accountable, and he sat down with me, and he said, okay, now let's strategize. We're doing this training with digital marketing, and we had to invest quite a bit of funds, and he said to me, even though this market is open to bring in a lot of finances, we have to sit down and we have to say from the get-go, what is God's, what is the business's, and what is ours. And it struck me because I didn't think of making the business leave some of the funds in the business. Have an account that says it's, see the business as a person. And whatever salary you are drawing from your company, put that as a salary down on the business. Why? So that your business can start saving, so that your business can start building, so that your business, when there comes a time when there's a drop in economy, when there's a quiet month, you've got more than enough in reserve. Now, I wouldn't have thought of that if Dr. Francois didn't sit down with me. Oh, my gosh, bro. Last year, she said to me, and actually she's been working my nerves on this. She says, Karina, I need to see your calendar. I need to see where you're spending your time, because you need to spend your time wise. And whatever time you're putting in, you need to get paid for it. Now, those of you who know me, my heart, if I get paid 3 months down the line, it's also okay. But it's actually not okay because in the meantime, I'm suffering. So Prof nails me and she says, Karina, I need to see your calendar. I want to see where you're making your money. And I remember she got so angry with me. She said, if you are too scared to charge the people X amount of money, I'm going to do it. So I went, no, it's okay. She pushed me. Yeah. It's awesome to have these godly counsel, but if we don't apply what they are teaching us, why are they in our lives? What's their purpose? God placed them in our lives to teach us. May we never reach a place where we become so wise and so full of knowledge that we can't receive wisdom and counsel from the very people that the Lord placed in our lives. If you need to buy something, if you need to make a business transaction, if you need to make a change in a course somewhere in the very near future, don't do it without seeking godly counsel. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. I burnt my fingers because I didn't want to listen to wise counsel. I made some reckless decisions. And then I got sucker punched. Please hear me out. When I quit my job in 2014, everyone told me, you are nuts. You are not in line with the will of God. God did not tell you to resign. You're going against everything. And this may seem now like I'm contradicting what I've been teaching tonight. But I heard the voice of the Lord. I knew He said to me I had to quit. I knew He said to me that I had to take that year because there was a reason for it. All of my leaders said, you are nuts. You are not hearing correctly. And it was a year of hell. That's the only way to put it. But after 6 months, all of those people started realizing, but she's actually surviving. She actually made it. And Dr. Francois, my spiritual dad, he came to me and he said to me, you've taught me something. And I, you could see as my face, I'm a bit confused now. It was back then as well, maybe 10 times worse. Because I looked at him and I'm like, ek vir jou iets geleer. Hoe's dat moontlik? And then he dropped the bomb and he said, we become so content with where we are that when God calls on a change of course, a change of action, a turn, we don't obey. Because we are applying all of these principles, and based on all of these principles, it says, nope, not wisdom, so we don't obey. But God sometimes calls on us to recklessly, passionately obey what He says. And here's the thing. When you know that you've heard the voice of God, when you've applied all the principles, and you know that this voice that you can base on scripture, you've taken it to the word, you've prayed about it, and you know it's God. You know it's God. Then God is opening up the next level for you. You cannot go into the new with old mindsets, with old ways of doing things. You can only enter the new in a new way, in a new being, in a new wine sack. It's only new that can enter new. So I see our time's going to run out in another minute 57, well, another minute 50. So I want you guys, I'm going to wrap it up with a scripture, Ephesians 3:20, and I want to read it over you guys. And then if all of you are okay with this, I want us to come back for 10 minutes in the last session. And I want us for 10 minutes to stir the atmosphere with prayers of faith for breakthrough tonight. With prayers of faith that God, our provider, will move. I know we've been contending for this. I know we've been stirring. And I know we've been pushing in. But I sense in my spirit, man, that there's a next level. There's a frequency that we need to knock tonight. And as we tap into that frequency tonight, last night when we were ministered, in the last, when we started praying, I saw a scale and it was tipping to the left-hand side. And I knew it was revealing to the flesh. And then I saw the hand of God coming upon the scale, and it was, he just touched the scale and the scale went whoosh down to the right-hand side. And as the scale went down to the right-hand side, I just saw money falling. And today is the ninth day. Today's birthday. If we want to achieve what God has laid up and stored up and prepared for us for 2020, we're going to need the wealth of the wicked. So I'm going to post the ID and the password. And when you guys come back on, I'm going to softly play some music in the background, but I want all of you unmuted, please. And I want us to just